All right.
Well, welcome, everyone. Tonight we're going to talk about meditation and walking meditation, and how we can use that to increase the mindfulness in our daily life, kind of as a transitional practice. It has a lot of merits in and of itself too. So I know some of you have probably practiced walking meditation, but let's talk about what walking meditation is a little bit. Basically, we're developing the same skills that we do in seated meditation. You know, we're developing the skill of directing and sustaining attention, and hopefully building up more stability of attention as we go along. And we're also trying to develop that peripheral awareness at the same time, so that optimal interaction between attention and awareness. So we can do the same thing while we're walking that we can do while we're seated. Typically, in walking meditation, we use the sensations of the feet or the legs, as opposed to the sensations of the breath that we often use in seated meditation. But there's no real reason you couldn't do breath sensations as you're walking. In fact, a few years ago, I did a concentration retreat at Spirit Rock Meditation Center, and that was the practice. You basically stayed with the breath all day long, every day. So walking meditation, seated meditation, while you were eating, while you were showering, during your rest periods, while you were going to sleep, we stayed with the breath the whole day long. And that was interesting because it got a little monotonous after a while, because it was just the same thing. But it really deepened my concentration. It was one of the deeper concentrations I had during a retreat, especially between the sets. So it really worked. Sometimes the energy can get a bit much, you know, just doing the breath all the time. But for the most part, it was pretty successful. And really, you could work with any of the senses in walking meditation. You know, you could go out and just listen to sounds. You know, you could listen to the birds or whatever, you know, rustling of the breeze through the trees, or, you know, if you happen to be near water, you could, running water or the ocean, anything like that. So there's no reason you have to do a specific sensation. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do with a walking meditation. Sometimes I don't think it always gets the emphasis that it deserves in our practice. I've been on retreats and where we alternate sitting and walking meditation, and sometimes I think people kind of feel like the walking meditation is just an extra break period, and that's easy to do. You often don't see near as many people doing the walking meditation as you do doing the seated meditation period, and there's something about it. I think we all do it. I think we emphasize the seated meditation as really the pinnacle, but the walking meditation can be very valuable as well. So what are some of the benefits of walking meditation? First of all, it helps balance the energy. When we do a lot of sitting, especially like in a retreat environment, we can actually get a lot of energy flow starting to build up. And that can really help to get out and do something different, to walk, to move around, to practice in a different posture. That can really help balance that out. And another time that it's really valuable is if you're getting tired or drowsy during your meditation. You know, it's often a good idea if you tried some other remedies and you can't do it, just get up and start doing walking meditation. Or say maybe you get up first thing in the morning and you're a little bit sleepy still before you actually start meditating, doing the seated. Well, you can walk for a while. It also works if your mind's agitated. You know, maybe you get home from work and you've had a stressful day, and your mind's just really agitated, and you feel like if you sat down, your mind would just be bouncing all over the place. It can often help to walk for 10 minutes, and it kind of helps settle things a little bit and settle the energy. Basically, what walking meditation is, it's basically mindfulness in motion. So we're bringing that mindfulness practice into motion, as opposed to just doing it while we're seated. And we're still developing those core skills of meditation that we talked about. The other thing is that, you know, they're starting to learn through research that sitting for long periods of the day is really not healthy for us. They found there's numerous negative health consequences to doing too much sitting. And I think in our society, a lot of people have desk jobs, end up sitting a lot. You know, maybe we come home, we browse the web, we watch some television. We end up sitting for a pretty good portion of the day. And so I think that's another big advantage of the walking meditation. You know, it's an opportunity to get up and walk and move and hopefully counteract some of those, some of those problems with sitting too much. I've started, when I work at my desk, I've started taking like a 30-minute work period, and then I set a little timer, and then I get up and walk for 5 or 10 minutes, and I actually do walking meditation, and I found that's very helpful to kind of soothe things out, get away, change the scenery. Often I'll go outside if the weather's nice, I'll go outside and do it. So that can really help. And also that'll help us do that, make that transition to daily life practice, because it's kind of a big gap from sitting silently with your eyes closed on a cushion to going out in daily life and relationship and at work and things like that to maintain that mindfulness. So that's, I think the walking can make a very nice transition between those two practices, because it's somewhere in between sitting on a cushion and actually interacting with the world. Another benefit is there can be less physical discomfort. Some people, when they sit a lot, can have various places in their body where they're not comfortable, maybe lower back or knees, and some of that can be alleviated by posture, but sometimes it can't. And so that can be also very beneficial, is to actually do the walking, because often people find walking more comfortable than sitting still for long periods of time. So here's a quote from Chula Das's upcoming book, which we were talking about. He says, "The best way to make rapid progress is to combine the seated meditation and the walking meditation." So he's actually a very big proponent of the walking meditation. And we'll talk about a few specific recommendations a little bit later in the talk. So any questions so far, comments?
One thing you mentioned following the breath during walking meditation, and when I was doing a lot of walking meditation, I noticed that as I was noting the sensations of the on the bottom of the feet, I was breathing in a particular way. Like, I can't recall exactly what it was. The inhale was occurring as the foot was picking up, and I was doing like a nine count with the foot, like nine different sensations, whatever. And there was a part of it where I naturally went into a rhythm with my breath and the movements, and they just stayed in that same rhythm all the time. And I noticed that the body just did that together. And I don't know if that's pertinent or anything, but has Chula Das said anything to you about, he didn't recommend to me following the breath while walking in particular. But I did notice that there was a rhythm to the two, and they were in tandem, kind of.
That's interesting how they synchronized. I have heard teachers, I think Larry Rosenberg, he's got a book called Breath by Breath, and I think he recommends that practice, synchronizing the breath with the walking process itself, or letting the breath synchronize with the walking
It
process.
just automatically did. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is interesting. And going back to your other comment, yeah, some teachers don't recommend doing the breath while you're talking, because they vary it up a little bit, change up the energy patterns and things like that. So that's something worth experimenting with to see if it works for you. To me, it's kind of nice to do something different while I'm walking, even though there's sensations, maybe do some different sensations. But then, like I say, the Spirit Rock teachers, they did recommend it as a way to really deepen concentration on a concentration retreat. So yeah, again, there's going to be different opinions about, what works. But for me, you're the ultimate authority on what works for you. Okay, anything else? Okay, well, let's talk about the mindfulness in daily life and this relationship a little bit more. The Buddha often taught meditating in the four postures, seated, standing, lying down, and walking meditation. You see that referenced in quite a few of the suttas, and in fact, here's a quote from one of the suttas. "A monk has awareness while coming and going, while reaching out his hands and drawing them back, while putting on his robes and carrying his bowl, while eating, drinking, chewing and tasting, while defecating and urinating. He has full awareness while walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, waking up, while talking, and remaining silent." So basically, the Buddha is asking us to be aware in as many possible different situations or postures in our life as we possibly can. So the walking meditation is not a new practice. I mean, it goes back to the time of the Buddha. In fact, there's a sutta where they talk about a monk that was practicing so diligently, he practiced till the soles of his feet were split and bleeding. And in fact, he was very disgruntled because he was practicing so diligently, trying so hard, but yet he hadn't achieved awakening yet. And he had an interview with the Buddha, and the Buddha actually talked to him. It's kind of a famous sutta. It's about tuning of the lute, which is a stringed instrument. And if we string a stringed instrument too tight, then it doesn't sound good. If we string it too loose, it doesn't sound good. So the Buddha worked with this monk to actually find the right level of effort. He had been a musician before he became a monk, and he was able to actually relate to that. And that's what we need to do with our effort in any sort of practice that we do, is learn to tune the effort properly, based on, sometimes we have to put a little more effort into it, sometimes we have to put a little bit less. But you say there's a fine tuning of our effort. But that shows that, he was practicing diligently, yet he was doing walking meditation. So he didn't consider practicing diligently to be seated meditation, necessarily. And then there's also the story of Ananda. Ananda was one of the Buddha, he was the Buddha's attendant throughout, I think, 30, 35 years he was the Buddha's attendant. He was also happened to be the Buddha's cousin. And they were also close friends. And after the Buddha died, they were going to have this big conference, and all these arhats, which are fully enlightened, or fully awakened beings, I think there were 500 of them in all, were going to get together, and they were going to talk about the Buddha's teachings. They were going to recite them. Back then, things were not written down, so they were actually going to come to an agreement on what the Buddha taught. And Ananda, at this point, had not achieved a full level of awakening. He had achieved stream entry, which was the first level, but he was not yet an arhat. And so before this conference came up, he really wanted to be an arhat, because everybody else was, but Ananda... Shows, I guess, he wasn't fully enlightened, right? He still was striving after that. But he had a photographic memory, so he remembered all the Buddhist, was able to remember all the Buddhist teachings. So they wanted him there to help verify these teachings. And so, he was practicing diligently the night before this conference. He really wanted to achieve that final awakening. And he was doing walking meditation, very diligently doing walking meditation. And in fact, he was over-striving a little bit. He finally realized that he was doing that. He was doing this walking meditation deep into the night, and he realized that he was over-striving. And finally, he laid down and just relaxed, and he let go. And as soon as he let go, the fruit of all of his efforts had, came to be, and he actually achieved the final stage of awakening, or so the story goes. But that just shows that, he wanted to practice diligently. This was his last night to practice, and he was doing walking meditation. So I think there's a lot of evidence that the Buddha considered this practice very important. But walking meditation is still a controlled situation. It's not as controlled as sitting, but it's still somewhat of a controlled situation. So it's kind of in between, like we talked about, in between the sitting and the rest of our practice. So it makes for a very nice transition. Because usually we can find a place to do walking meditation that's not too loud. We may not meditate next to a jackhammer or something like that. And we can often find pleasant places to do it, out in nature and things like that. So still a controlled situation, but slowly edging that direction towards full mindfulness. The other benefit of walking meditation is that it's easy to find periods in our day when we can work it in. Maybe you go for a walk on your lunch hour. And you can be mindful while you're walking. You can do walking meditation almost anywhere. Maybe after work, maybe you come home, you've had a stressed out day. Maybe you go out for a 15-minute walk and you practice walking meditation. So it's or even just walking in your daily life. When you're going to the restroom or walking to your car and back. You can make that a mini meditation. Even a 2-minute meditation. So it's a little easier than sitting down. If you're at work, you feel a little awkward about just doing meditation. Maybe you feel like you have to close your door and some things like that on your lunch hour. Well, you can go out, go for a stroll, and nobody even really needs to know that you're meditating necessarily. You don't have to do the ultra slow walking. You can walk at a normal pace and just be mindful. So. Questions or thought on that relationship between daily life and walking meditation?
I guess just when I see nature, just acknowledging that's what I see rather than, I guess I'm a little, do you just stay in observant mode and not go anywhere with it? I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think I do. Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk a little more specific about how to practice this.
Okay.
But certainly the first stage, Chuladasa actually has you, you're loosely anchored to the sensations of walking at your feet,
uh-huh.
but you can open awareness to anything in your environment that comes along that catches your attention.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you see a beautiful butterfly or something like that.
Okay.
And you stop and actually and examine that. And that you switch your attention to that particular object.
Okay.
So you're actually learning to increase that scope of awareness. While you're still anchored to, you know, to some sensations, and but you're trying to control attention still,
uh-huh.
to some extent. You try not to just let it bounce from one thing to another. You actually, if something catches your eye, you actually stop and examine it in more detail.
Yeah, with sitting, you know, you're balancing concentration and peripheral
awareness. Awareness. Yeah.
Okay. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
So, I guess I was just trying to figure out the analogy, you know, with both walking and sitting.
Yeah, you can do pretty much the same thing. I mean, you can have a center of attention while you're walking.
Uh-huh.
That could be the, you know, the sensations at the feet, but you still have awareness of what's going on around you. Obviously, you have to if you're going to walk or you're going to trip or run into something. In fact, you have more opportunities for peripheral awareness while you're out walking than you would, you know, sitting in a quiet room on the cushion. And then you still find a balance of that. And you can practice different ways. You know, Chuladasa gradually recommends that you bring your attention inward more. So you start out with more present moment awareness that we'll talk about, and then you slowly start bringing more of your attention to the sensations, you know, at the feet. But you don't have to. If you just want to go for a leisurely stroll and you want to take in nature or something like that, you can certainly do that. So you can always adjust it, you know, to the situation and things like that.
Okay.
So does that make sense? Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the details of how you go about practicing walking meditation. As I said, you could just follow the breath, but often we do follow the sensations at our feet. But you could practice almost any kind of meditation technique while you're walking. Any kind of sensory object, you know, you could do sounds like we talked about. Shinzen Young, who's a meditation teacher, he actually helped found this center, TCMC. He's a mindfulness meditation teacher, and he actually recommends, he does different kind of mindfulness practices, and he recommends taking those practices throughout the different postures and throughout your daily life. So you might choose a specific technique, and you would start out doing seated meditation with that technique, and then you might do lying meditation with that technique, then standing meditation with that technique, and then walking. So you're gradually transitioning where there's more and more going on in your environment. Then you might go on to doing some simple chores around the house while you're still maintaining that same technique. And then you go on to cooking maybe like a simple meal, maybe cooking a more complex meal, interactions to others. You're interacting with people and they're getting most of your attention, but you're still kind of keeping a meditation technique going on more in the background. And ultimately, probably the hardest place to stay really mindful is like an emotionally charged relationship or conversation. Mm-hmm. And so that would be the ultimate goal of where you could take that particular practice. So there's a kind of a progressive level of mastery. And I found that to be a very interesting idea and way to approach a specific meditation technique. So walking would be kind of, you know, down on that level somewhere, you know, more towards seated meditation. But certainly that transition into bringing that into the rest of our life. So that's something you could experiment with as well. Just try having a technique. Maybe you're just grounded in your body, and use that technique. Or you know, if you're walking around cooking, for example, you know, have some awareness of the soles of your feet while you're doing that. So those are some different ways to approach it. There's a lot of benefits to walking outdoors. You know, it's nice to get outside, get some sunshine. Nature tends to be relaxing. So it's nice to practice outdoors, but you know, if the weather's not good or you don't have a good place to practice, you can certainly do it inside. You know, walk in a hallway, you can walk in a circle, in a room, a lot of different options. You can even do it on a quiet city sidewalk if you want to. Walk around your neighborhood and do it. Sharon Salzberg came a few years ago and did a retreat for us downtown. And she had people walking downtown on the sidewalk, you know, at the breaks. They were out doing walking meditation, you know, right downtown Tucson. So it's certainly an option. And if you feel self-conscious, like I say, you can walk at a normal pace. You don't have to do the slow walking if you don't feel comfortable doing that in a group setting. So it's recommending when you start out doing this practice, maybe do it 15 to 30 minutes. See how that works. Maybe you really like it. Maybe you want to increase. But Shul also recommends trying to get a 30-minute walking meditation in addition to the seated meditation that you do, if you can fit that in. Or you can even break it up. You can do 2 15-minute sessions as well. So, but one thing to do is try to keep this practice easy and relaxed. Some of us tend to strive sometimes when we do our seated meditation. So we want to kind of go at this with a different attitude. We want to be more open, more relaxed, you know, really cultivate the enjoyment of the practice, you know, a little bit more spacious in our practice. So we want it. And that makes a nice counterpart too, especially for people that tend to strive more in our seated meditation. Some people that, you know, just the different environment can trigger a different attitude towards the practice. But try to keep that in mind as you cultivate this practice. Relax, ease, peace, that sort of thing. Questions, thoughts? Keep track of the time here, make sure we don't go over. Chuldon also teaches a staged approach to seated meditation, but he also teaches a staged approach to walking meditation as well. So in stage one, he calls it exploring the present moment. And he had a slip of the tongue one time and he called it the pleasant moment. And that's really so true. When we're in the present moment, it tends to be pleasant. Much more pleasant than the dramas that we create in our head when we're not in the present moment. First thing is keep it simple, keep it relaxed. And the first thing he has people do is start out, you're exploring walking at different paces to see what that interaction is between attention and awareness. So first he has people start out, and this is just kind of a preliminary practice to get you used to how your mind works with the walking meditation, especially if you've never done the practice. Start out just at a normal pace, just for a pace you would do at a normal stroll, you know, walking around the house or walking around at work. Start out with that. And keep some attention on the feet as you're doing that. Use the feet as the anchor and kind of see what it feels like to walk at a normal pace. And you're being aware, but you kind of have your attention generally anchored in the feet. And if the mind wanders, just bring your attention back to the sensations of the feet. So really, in this practice, you're just trying to get a feel for what a normal pace feels like in your mind and your body, and how your attention tends to react to that. So after you've explored a normal pace for a while, this could be a whole session or it could be half of a session or whatever, then try walking at a fast pace, like you're hurrying to get somewhere, and see what that feels like, both in your mind and your body. You may find that with that practice, it's actually kind of hard to notice the sensations of the feet because they're changing so rapidly. They're almost gone, they're gone and the next one's hitting. And that can be difficult. And so you might try like full body, noticing your full body as you walk. You notice your arms swinging or whatever your attention goes to anywhere in your body as you're walking along. And see what a fast pace feels like and how that's different and how your attention and awareness react to a faster pace. And then the final one to try is a very slow pace. Often that's the way it's taught. Some teachers do teach a very slow walking pace. And you may find that as you walk at a very slow pace, that balance becomes a little more difficult. You know, we're used to walking at a certain pace and our mind keeps us in balance, but when you walk more slowly, you actually have to concentrate a little bit more closely on what you're doing, because you do tend to lose balance if you're not careful. And sometimes for some people that helps to keep in the present moment, because you have to keep a little bit more of awareness and attention on what you're doing. So, you know, you may find that you like the slower walking. And sometimes we might use different speeds of walking for different purposes. You know, if you're if you're kind of tired and sleepy, you might want to walk fast and wake yourself up a little bit. Or maybe if your mind's agitated, maybe you really want to slow down and walk at a slow pace. And so, you know, different minds react differently, maybe to different paces. So that's worth experimenting with to see, you know, based on the state of your mind, what particular pace may work better that day. So, you know, there's a lot of trial and error that's involved in any kind of meditation, because different things work for different people. So that's just kind of preliminary. That's what you do maybe the first few times you do some walking meditations. Just explore some different paces and go from there. Questions on that or thoughts? Okay, so once you do that, then we're going to start the basic practice, which is exploring the present moment. This is stage one practice of walking. You know, find a suitable place, you know, outdoors if possible. It's nice if you have a continuous track, maybe 15, 20 feet long, where you can walk back and forth, but that's not required. You know, if you're in the house, you can walk around in circles or in a small room, just whatever works for you. And like I say, this is a little bit more formal practice, but you could certainly do this just going for a walk too. And at this point, start out with find a comfortable pace. Maybe a pace that's mostly automatic, so not going so slow that you're having to really worry about balance, but also slow enough so that you can actually feel the sensations at your feet. You know, we talked about at a fast pace, maybe it's hard especially to keep up with the sensations. So basically, what Chulas recommends is maybe a slow, normal pace to start out with, and you can adjust from there, from that point on. So what we're going to do, our object is really going to be the present moment, but we're going to use the feet as an anchor. So we're going to put our attention on the sensations of our feet to start with, and we want to have intentional movements of attention. So we kind of want that to be under our control. We don't really want our attention just constantly jumping from one thing to another. But say you're walking along, you got your attention on the feet, and peripheral awareness notices something. Maybe like we talked about, maybe a bird. You know, that we see a pretty bird in a tree, and so we let our attention move to the bird, and we observe it, we examine it, you know, for a while, till the bird flies off, or till, you know, we're kind of tired of looking at the bird, and then we bring our attention back to the sensations at the feet. So there's no set period that you have to examine it, just however long it's interesting or till it changes. And then we bring ourselves back to our feet, and that becomes our anchor again. We start walking. Maybe we hear a sound. Maybe it's a car horn going off or something like that. So we might want to switch to that, examine that for a while. And that's where it's nice in nature, because you tend to get more pleasant sounds and more pleasant sensations, you know, but not always. So basically, we're just kind of examining, you know, that relationship between attention and our awareness, and how certain things pop into our attention. We're aware of them, and then they become more prominent in our attention. So we're kind of keeping our attention in a broad field, as opposed to really narrow on the sensations of the feet. And we also want to notice thinking as well. We want to have, and that's one reason we keep that peripheral awareness, so we notice thinking earlier, because thinking tends to be very sticky. We can get caught in thinking, and you know, it's 5 minutes later and we've been daydreaming for 5 minutes. So we want to notice thinking, but we don't want to stop and examine. We don't want to examine thinking to the extent that we would examine some other sensory input. We just kind of want to notice it and then just kind of let it go in the background. But we're not trying to get rid of thinking by any means. We're just kind of letting it be in the background. You might find, you know, at first this slow walking and moving your attention around and examining things. You know, it's kind of novel for some people. It's kind of new. And it'll keep your attention for a while. But you might find that after you do it for a while, some of the novelty starts to wear off. And so then you may need to anchor more of your attention into your feet just to develop a little more stability of attention that way. So, and that's perfectly normal that you know, we lose interest in things after we've done them for a while. And so that's really the attention we're training. When something's not particularly interesting, we're actually wanting to train our attention to be able to stay where we ask it to stay. And so again, it's not brute force, it's relaxed and easy, but we'll anchor a little bit more frequently to the feet at that point. So really, we're developing the same faculties that we are in seated meditation. You know, we're developing that ability to sustain our attention, you know, either on the feet or on some other object. And we're also developing that peripheral awareness. And the way Chula Dasa defines mindfulness is it's the optimal interaction between attention and peripheral awareness. So, you know, we don't totally lose one. Even though we drill down and look at something closely, we still don't lose that peripheral awareness. We still have that awareness. And that's what mindfulness is. And this basically leads to mindfulness of walking, which is one of the postures that the Buddha recommended. So that's how these two faculties come together to increase our mindfulness. Questions on that, on how the practice works? And, you know, as we talked about this, the walking meditation can be a nice antidote to excessive striving. It really can help us balance out our energy levels. You know, maybe if you had an hour to meditate, you might want to do 30 minutes of walking and 30 minutes of sitting and see what kind of balance that leads to. And, the other thing too, to cultivate, to try to notice, just have an intention to notice in your awareness is anything that's pleasant, we want to notice that particularly. Like maybe you're out walking and there's a cool breeze passing across you that feels nice. Or maybe it's a cool day and you walk into the sun and you feel the warmth on your arm or on your face. You know, particularly notice any pleasant sensations. And then also notice any joy or happiness that tends to arise as we do the practice. Because that can really help our motivation. You know, as we notice pleasant things, as we notice joy and happiness, we say, oh yeah, meditation's, it's good, it's fun, it's pleasant. It creates joy. And that's gonna improve our motivation for the next time that we practice. So that's very important. And I think sometimes it can be easier to find those sensations when we're doing walking meditation or when we're out in nature than it might be, you know, sitting in a room somewhere. And as I think, yeah, I already mentioned this, Chula Dasa talks about trying to work in 30 minutes of walking meditation each day as part of our practice. Okay, so that's basically the stage one practice. So, any questions on that, or thoughts, or observations? Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and introduce stage two and three practice as well. In some ways, it's easier to sustain peripheral awareness when we're doing walking because there's just more things that come up. And so that's definitely a benefit. But on the other side of the coin, more things come up, more things can capture our attention. It can also lead to more mind wandering as well. So it's kind of a balancing act there. We can maintain the peripheral awareness, but our mind might wander more. And, you know, I found when I started doing a lot of walking meditation that my attentional stability wasn't as good doing walking meditation as it was doing seated meditation. I think because I had habituated myself to doing more seated meditation as opposed to walking meditation. And so, but I found the more I did the walking meditation, then those skills started transferring more readily to the walking meditation. So that's something you might notice at first when you start doing the practice. And So on stage two and three, stage one, we were really kind of trying to keep a more open awareness and let our attention go from one thing to another more. And stage two and three, we're gonna bring it in a little bit more. Although there's going to be some exercises that we explore, so we explore our senses more fully. So we're gonna focus a little bit more continuously on those sensations of walking at our feet. And so we're gonna introduce a slightly different practice. It's called step-by-step walking. So in the first practice, we're just kind of walking at a normal, maybe slow normal pace. But in this particular practice, we're gonna kind of walk step-by-step. So we're gonna, for example, when we step forward with our left foot, we're not gonna raise our right foot until we have most of our weight on the front foot. So in order to do that, you're gonna have to walk a little bit more slowly and probably take a little bit shorter steps, because natural tendency when we walk, when we step, you know, this foot starts rising as this one's going down, as we're walking at a faster pace. So we wanna keep the attention on the foot that's moving. So your front foot will be moving off the ground, you'll feel it swing through the air, and then you'll feel it start to land, and then your weight will go on the front foot. And then your attention will shift to the back foot as it starts to move forward, as it starts to land, and then as your weight shifts onto that foot. So you're not trying to notice both feet at the same time in this practice. You're just keeping attention on one foot at a time as you go along. Is that clear how that works? Mm-hmm. And you may find that, you know, as you're moving the foot, as it's in the air, you're not going to feel a tremendous number of sensations there. But that's okay. You know, just whatever you feel, or maybe you feel nothing there, or at least at first. But your mind starts to get sharper the more you do the practice, and you start noticing, you know, more subtle sensations as you're doing the practice. And so so don't worry about that. If you don't feel much during that phase, that's perfectly normal. And what we give attention to, we tend to get sharper. Our awareness tends to get sharper. So. So in this practice, we're going to do it a little bit differently. When our mind starts to wander, we're walking along, we're doing the slow walking. When we notice that our mind has wandered, just like in our seated meditation, we're going to kind of celebrate the fact that we woke up, that we remembered to come back, you know, give ourselves a mental pat on the back. And we're going to label the distraction. You know, often it's thinking. And you can do something generic like thinking, or you can talk about what you maybe think, a simple label about what you were thinking about. You don't want to spend a lot of time coming up with the perfect label. You know, any kind of simple label will do. But that's helping build that awareness component of what we were doing. And then after we do that, we've stopped, we've done that, then we're going to bring our attention back to the feet and start walking again. So we're kind of taking that little pause when we actually notice, and that kind of reinforces the fact that our mind had wandered, the fact that we stopped our walking and we start over again. And then we're going to develop also, so that's when our mind has wandered, but we're also going to develop an intentional pause. So, like I say, in this one, we're putting a little more attention on our feet. We're not going to objects as much as we were in stage one. You know, things come into our awareness. We're basically waiting for something fairly strong to come up or persistent. And when it does, then we're actually going to, we call that a stronger distraction, something that really draws our attention. Maybe it's a loud sound, or maybe it's a beautiful, you know, bird or animal or something like that. And at that point, we're going to stop again, and we're going to examine it. So we're going to stop and intentionally examine the object. But we're not going to do it for thoughts. We're just doing it for any kind of sensory object that comes up. So the difference between stage one and stage two, in stage one, we don't stop. You know, we just keep walking and we examine it as we're going along. But in this one, we're actually going to stop for a minute and we're going to examine it maybe a little bit more detail while we pause. We're going to take that intentional pause. And, you know, this is a nice practice to do outside because there's more going on that might draw your attention. You know, you will notice thoughts that'll come up. You know, for example, maybe you hear a dog barking and, you know, you may have some thoughts, you know, your mind probably starts thinking about, well, where's that dog, you know, where's it coming from? Is this my neighbor's on this side's dog? Is the neighbor on this side's dog? And that's okay. Just let those kind of thoughts come up and be in the background. What you don't want to, what you want to try to avoid is getting into a chain of discursive thoughts. You don't want to start thinking about the dog's owner or, you know, maybe some disagreement you've had with that person or something like that. So you want to kind of keep it into the present moment. Keep thoughts related to the present moment as you're doing that. Questions so far on that stage?
So we stop our walking when we realize a thought or something is, or a sound or a sight or...
We don't usually do it for thoughts. We kind of let thoughts just be in the background.
Okay.
But like, say a sight comes up. Say you're walking along and say you see a pretty bird again. Uh-huh. And, you know, that's persistent. You want to stop and examine it. You know, it's kind of a, it's something that really came to your attention
okay.
more vividly. So you'll stop your walking at that point.
Uh-huh.
And then you just turn your attention towards that bird. And then you will examine it in more detail.
Sometimes I can get in this place where my mind can be really quiet, like I'm listening, you know, but then I'm aware that, oh, something's come in, or some thought has come in, or some, I'm not in listening mode anymore. I mean, and it's quiet. I guess is just sitting there listening with no distraction. Is that considered just another type of thinking, or
are you listening to external sounds, or are you listening to your thoughts?
There's just nothing going on in there. It's just like I'm waiting in the quiet for someone, for some, do you know what I'm saying, for interaction, or
just kind of a period of silence.
Yeah, but you know, but eventually it doesn't last, and I get like, I don't like it when it's not quiet, but what I'm hearing you say is it's just all okay to just accept it all. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that silence, that the gap between thoughts, or the time when nothing else is really going on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's perfectly valid if that's where you want to direct your attention to that. In fact, there's practices, Shinzen Young, who I was talking about, has practices like that, where you kind of examine thoughts as they're coming into your head, and then you notice those gaps in between the thoughts as well. So that, you know, that could certainly be part of your practice as well. If that's where your mind wants to go, wants to just go to that silence, and that could be your attention. Your attention could just be on the silence, and then your peripheral awareness will notice other things, you know, thoughts coming in, or external sounds, or... you know, as if you're walking with your eyes open, you might notice sights and...
Right. Okay. I guess what I'm getting is it's all okay, but I guess I'm still kind of in a judging type. This is bad, this is good, this is what I want, this is what I don't want type.
Yeah, that's very common. We tend to push experiences away, certain ones we think shouldn't be there, or things we don't like, or... things like that. But I think acceptance, that equanimity, is a very important part of the practice.
Okay.
I mean, you'll find you have very limited control. You have limited control over your attention.
Right.
You might want to direct it a certain place, but it may not cooperate all the time.
Right.
It gets better as you train the mind and as you go along. But having equanimity with what actually is happening, I think, is a very important part of the practice.
Okay.
But... then when you don't have it, don't beat yourself up for not having it. It's easy to do. It's easy to judge ourselves for judging ourselves. So.
Okay, thanks.
Welcome. Anything else? You want to add to that?
Yeah, just was, I mean, to me it's interesting just to notice that maybe it's actually more pleasant to have the silence.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just notice the pleasantness of that, and by doing that, you'll probably tilt your mind slowly towards having more of that as opposed to the busyness.
Okay, because it is really pleasant.
I mean, if you get attached to it, you'll suffer, but just to notice that you like it is okay.
Right, uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for that. And that tends to happen with more practice. Your mind does get more, there's more stillness as you go along. Yeah. Why not savor it if it's there?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you know, if you're having difficulties with this practice or you find it tedious or something like that, you know, stop and examine your mind, because more than likely, you're probably not fully in the present moment if you're doing that. So that's kind of a good indicator that something may be going on that you may not be in the present moment. You know, often boredom comes up because we want to be somewhere else. We're not really fully experiencing the present moment. We're looking for something more interesting than the present moment. So that's kind of a good check-in sometimes if you're getting that feeling. Because the practice shouldn't be difficult. There should be ease. There should be peace there. Okay, so we're going to introduce one more practice to this, and this is still part of stage two and stage three. It's checking in. And we talked about a few weeks ago, we talked about checking in our meditation. We're checking in with our mind to see what's going on in our mind. But and this is a little bit different practice that we're doing in the walking meditation. So, you know, once your mind gets a little more stable, maybe you're walking for several minutes without stopping because you had a strong distraction, or because you got lost in thought. Maybe you've walked 5 minutes and neither of those things have happened. You've just been with the sensations of the breath or there's stillness there. So at that point, when you get to that point in your practice, maybe you want to start checking in periodically. So, you know, if there is a distraction, something comes up, say you hear a sound, you know, you stop and examine it, but after you've examined it, open yourself to that sense, that all the sensory perceptions, all the perceptions from that sense. For example, so you hear a sound of a bird, open to other sounds as well, and notice anything else that is coming in through your ears, any other sounds. And just examine that. So we're kind of changing our field to all of sound, for example. Or if we see something that we examine, then we want to open our field of awareness to any sights that catch our attention. And we want to stop and meditate on that for about a minute or so. So you're stopped and you're just taking a sense and examining that, exploring it, observing it. And you can do that same thing with any of the senses, you know, with sight, with body sensations. Maybe you stop periodically and open your awareness to all body sensations, not just the ones at your feet, but you examine anything that's going on in your body. Maybe a breeze coming across, or if you have any discomfort anywhere in your body, you'll do that as well. So what we're doing is we're kind of exploring this whole awareness and attention aspect while we're walking. So we're learning about our mind as we're going along and doing this practice. And again, we often keep a running commentary when we're examining something. You know, we're hearing a sound, maybe there's some thoughts about the sound, some talk about the sound. And that's very natural, but what we want to start trying to do is let go of some of that commentary. When you notice the fact that you're commenting on it as opposed to just noticing it, just kind of trying to let go of the words. And begin, try not to judge yourself or push them away, but just kind of let those go and try to have more silent awareness. And that'll take practice because our mind tends to naturally do that. We're very discursive by nature, some people more than others probably. But then start exploring what it feels like to examine something without words, observe and examine without the thought, without the thinking component of, or the verbal component of thought, so to speak. Okay. Thoughts or questions on that part? Okay. All right. Well, it looks like we're just about out of time. I do want to open it up for any questions or thoughts or observations. Anybody have anything they'd like to talk about or share? Okay, well, I'd like to give you a homework assignment for next time, to practice walking meditation. So I'd like to ask you to try to do 15 minutes at least 4 or 5 times in the next week and see how that is. And then Nick's going to be guiding a discussion next week, and hopefully you can come back and share some experiences with the walking meditation and how it worked for you, what you liked, what you didn't like, and go from there. So that's all I've got, if there's nothing else. Thanks for coming, everyone.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.